Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is Nicholas, and we're going to continue here in our study in the Gospel of Luke. We left off at chapter 4 and verse 16, and it says, "He came to Nazareth." And, of course, Nazareth is his hometown. It says where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, he'd been into the synagogue. He had been going to that synagogue most of his life as he was brought up in Nazareth. His family would visit the synagogue on the Sabbath day for fellowship because of their, just as many of us go to fellowship on a regular basis on whatever day we go on, it's not an important thing because most people couldn't find the Sabbath if it was written in the sky. So he came and he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, I have a question. How many of you could walk into your local church down in the corner or wherever you attend, walk up to the pulpit there, and just start reading? Not very many of us could do that. Well, you'd have to go into that's what the home church is for. And that's why perhaps the church, ecclesia, after our Messiah rose from the dead and then ascended to be with the Heavenly Father, they had to meet in homes. Although you'll find that it was still a custom of many of the apostles to go into the synagogue. Of course, eventually they were driven out, and then eventually there were no synagogues left for them to go to with the destruction of Palestine and them having to flee to avoid being caught up in that destruction and the judgment that came upon national Israel. Okay, so he stands up, and he's given the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opens the book. He found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Yahuwah." And, of course, I know that in Isaiah, the Textus Receptus that he read, it was the name of the Creator there. He would have said, "The Spirit of Yahuwah is upon me." Of course, he would have not have said anything in English. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say to you, that no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, that many widows who were in the land of Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save to Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up to thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." So right now, I mean, already, he speaks the truth to them. And they should have said something like, "Well, how can it be different? this time? How can we receive the bread in time of fasting? How can we receive the healing instead of a stranger? They just got angry. They got up in their pride, in their racial pride, and they said, how dare you? So they're going to carry him to the edge of the city and cast him over the hill headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So the throng was so thick that he escaped. And, you know, probably they had a hold of each other. I don't know what they ended up when they got to the cliff there where they were going to throw him over. But they got there and their hands were empty because he escaped right out of the middle of them. And he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. And he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Now, you can imagine, here it is. You know, you've seen this boy all your life coming to the synagogue, and he's just, you know, he's just an ordinary boy. He wasn't, you know, as far as everyone else is concerned, he's like every other boy. You know, he wasn't doing miracles during his childhood and all of the wondrous things that you see in the book, The Lost Years of Jesus, and some of these fictional movies that they've made up and about what Jesus did during his lost years, how he went to China and he went to India and he did miracles as a child and he healed birds and stuff like that, all that silly nonsense that somebody made up. Because these people would have had their eyes on this child if miracles were pouring forth to him as they were growing up. They wouldn't have been taken aback when he stood up at 30 years of age and went into the temple. No, he was subject to his parents, remember? At 12 years old, he returned with his parents and he was subject to them. This was a good Hebrew boy, you know, he had a carpenter who was his father, and he worked in his father's carpentry shop or wherever his father worked. He worked hard with his hands, and he was being trained as a carpenter by his father because that was the custom of the land. And of course, then the girls were trained by their mothers to be good wives to their husbands, and of course, them being righteous, they were also trained in righteousness, trained in the Word of God, going to the synagogue as a custom. So he stands up in the temple, and they are going to throw him out for saying these things. Who does this boy think he is? His own kinsmen, the men of his own town, are now angry and going to throw him out because of the things that he said. So he goes to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days because he would be accepted. And, you know, sometimes I can identify with that a prophet is not accepted in his own home because people around me, where I attend the congregation there, they don't have much regard for me. The people right around me don't seem to have much regard for me. Because he's just that guy over there, and he's little, you know, he's little nuts in the head or whatever. He's that Bible thumper or whatever. I don't know what people think, but it is obvious that they don't have much regard for someone they know. So, fortunately, most of the people listening to my voice, aren't that intimate with my settings, and they don't know me on a daily basis, or they didn't know me before the Heavenly Father called me to start preaching. Otherwise, you might have little regard for me too. So I can identify with this statement of the Messiah when he said that a prophet is without honor, is not without honor except in his own home. And so it's a true proverb. You can bank on it. So he rose up. Okay, see, where'd we go to now? They were astonished at his doctrine. He's in Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he's teaching there on the Sabbath because he was not accepted in his own home at Nazareth. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? art thou come to destroy us? I know who thee, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Yahshua rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. They've never seen anything like this before. And the fame of him went out to every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them. So here you have the beginning of the message and the ministry of Yahshua. He went, after being tempted in the wilderness, he went home to Nazareth. And I'm certain that he visited his mother and his brethren. And I believe that at this time that, from the scripture, what we glean is that Joseph had died, their father of his brothers and sisters, his stepfather, was not alive at this time. Although he was alive when he was 12, that's the last that we know. So we understand that he grew up subject to his parents. And after that, we don't hear anything else about Joseph, his father-in-law. So it is assumed, since he does not appear, but his mother does appear, that Joseph had passed on at this time. So he's visiting his family, and he goes to the synagogue, as was his custom, stands up to read. They're going to cast him out. So he goes to a neighboring town, and he starts to teach there in the synagogue. And of course, they accept him there. And then he commands an unclean spirit to come out. The people start to marvel, not only that he teaches with authority and power and an understanding so that he's welcome there, but now he's commanding unclean spirits, and now he's rebuking the fever so that people are going, wow, I've got a relative that's sick, and they start bringing the sick to him. And that's where we're at. This is not a Benny Hinn TBN production going on here. There's no TV cameras. There's no hidden microphones. And there's no trickster stuff going on here. This is the real thing. So they brought unto him any that were sick and with divers diseases, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art the Messiah. Of course, they didn't speak Greek, and nobody would have understood if they did, as it is relayed here in the authorized King James Version. They would have said, thou art the Messiah, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Messiah. They knew that he was Christ, as we have it here in the authorized King James Version. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him, and he stayed him that he should not depart from them. And he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore I am sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Chapter 5 and verse 1. You could imagine, you know, if you had this guy come into your church, into your place of fellowship, you'd want to keep him around too. Let's continue. Chapter 5 and verse 1 of the Gospel of Luke. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake at Gennesaret. Gennesaret. That's the pronunciation I get from the Greek there. And that's what they give us in the authorized King James Version. He stood by the lake Gennesaret. And take note here. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, Now he's off to Galilee, and guess what? He was in the town, what was the town he was in? We just left there, where he was, Capernaum. And, certainly he has people that are trying to talk him into staying in Capernaum, but then also he's going to have young people following him, especially the young, those that feel like they can leave their home and follow this man, because obviously many of them, they're thinking, this is the Messiah. The testimony comes out. He's doing miracles. They're looking for this Messiah. They understand the times of the time, some of them, that it is Daniel's 70th week. They've been counting the years. They know the temple's been there 490 years now, or thereabout. They may not have an exact date, but they know the time they're living in. So he has people following him. And so he shows up now, and he has people that have followed him from Capernaum. Now he's in Galilee, and he's by the lake there. In verse 2, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. So you have the people on the shore there, and he's on the ship teaching them. And so he has a stage, he can be up above them. And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And that means that they were bailing out water to keep them afloat. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, I would hope that I would be one of those, if I were living in that day, that would just cast everything off and follow him. And perhaps that's what he calls us for today, is to leave everything, to leave all of our hopes and our dreams that we had in the world, all of the things that we treasured and were following hard after. And when we hear the gospel message, to cast off all those things and to follow him. Of course, he's not here in the flesh, that we can follow him in the flesh, but we need to follow him with that same spirit, and to follow him in the spirit, to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, rather than seeking the things that we sought before. So they forsook all and followed him. Chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed, And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with the palsy. And they sought him, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through a tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribe and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Yes, that old reasoning that'll get you, the reasoning of the flesh and the reasoning of men, that'll get you every time. How blind can you be? Here's a man being healed. There are people being healed of their diseases all around. Yet, what are they looking for? They're not glorifying God for the good that's being done. They're looking for fault in a man. And with that, we have to go into a break. So we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is Cross the Border. Why don't you stop by there and send me an email? Just let me know you're listening. We'll be back after the news.